All right, so please be seated. Thank you for standing. Before I preach, I would just like to let everyone know about a little bit about our ministry. Just take a few minutes to do that. I am from the Philippines originally. My wife is from the Philippines as well, but we are now in Cambodia. I personally grew up in Cambodia. When I was 10 years old, the Lord called my dad to Cambodia to start a mission work there. And together with my two sisters and my mom, we went to Cambodia. That was 21 years ago, and we've been there most of those 21 years. And I grew up in Cambodia. It's a blessing. I consider it a blessing to grow up in a Christian family. I consider it a blessing not only to grow up in a Christian family, but to grow up in a mission field, and that is such a blessing, and I thank the Lord for that. Only by His grace and mercy that we were able to be there for a long time. And the blessing there, I believe, is that growing up in Cambodia, the Lord has taught us a lot of things. First of all, I praise the Lord that the Lord has helped us to learn the language. Me and my sisters, we speak the language fluently. We can read it and write. And just to be with the people, growing up with the people, not only seeing what they do, because going to Cambodia, it's easy to see what people do. But I believe as a missionary, most importantly, see the motivation behind why people do what they do. That is very important. Because if we don't see the reasoning behind the way people are, it's easy to compare, you know, our ways and their ways and our culture and their culture, and we're better and this is better and that is wrong. And it's easy to do that and be judgmental in a way. But we're seeing that motivation, why people are the way they are in Cambodia, it gives us a wisdom, and the Lord gives us wisdom on how to incorporate the gospel and put it in perspective in their lives. And we praise the Lord for that, growing up there. And not only that, but we saw their religion. And Cambodia has 17 million people, but they're 97% Buddhist. And most of the Christians aren't even, I mean, they didn't grow up in the country. So there's very few Cambodians who really are truly Christians. Yes. But Buddhism is not such a hostile religion. And we were talking about that a while ago this morning. It's a religion of peace. It's not like the Islam. You know, if Cambodia is an Islamic nation, they wouldn't want us in their country. But Cambodians are Buddhists, so they're fine with that. They're polytheists. They believe in many gods. They practice ancestral worship. So they worship their ancestors. Or some of them even worship their parents. To them, their parents are demigods, like little gods. So their parents, whatever they say is the law, and they do have to obey that. Well, sometimes Christians need to be reminded of that. We have to obey our parents, not as gods, but as authority in our lives. That is what Cambodians are. They believe in reincarnation. That means when you die, you will literally be born again. And some of them believe that you'll be born again as another man, it's another human being in the future. Some of them believe, there are a few that believe that you can be born again as an animal, a cow or something like that. But they do believe that you have to live your life in a good way so that when you are born again, you're going to have a better life. So you may be richer than your previous life. Or you may be in a position of power. You may be a politician or whatever they do believe. So they are motivated to be good people. And they are motivated to do good works, to be friends with everyone. That is why they are welcome to listening to Christians, welcoming us in their country, sitting down through the preaching of the gospel. The government has no problem with us being there and preaching the gospel to Cambodians. They don't tell us not to do it. They only ask of us not to antagonize their people. That means you do not debate about Buddhism. You don't talk bad about their past or tradition, which is fair enough. You don't go there to just to talk bad about their ways, right? And they say that if people are willing to come to your meeting place, your church, and they sit down and listen to the gospel, we're fine with that. If people want to be Christians, we're okay with that. That's the that is the freedom we have in Cambodia, which is great. And I believe that that is the Lord working. And as long as the door is open, we believe that we have to get the gospel out as much as we can. And 6 years ago, I started my own ministry out of my dad's church. Amen. I was praying that the Lord would lead us to a rural village in order to preach the gospel there and help out the people. Growing up in Cambodia, the Lord has placed love in our hearts for the people. We wanted not only, of course, to preach the gospel to them, but to be a help to them with whatever the Lord has blessed us with. So 6 years ago, the Lord led us to this village where somehow there's a Christian couple in a rural village, very poor village. The people pointed us to one house and said, "Well, that house, they have there's Christians there, and it's owned by a Christian couple." So I was very skeptical. You know, 97% Buddhist, rural village, and there's a Christian couple there. I didn't want to believe it. So I went there and I talked to the couple. I asked them, "What do you mean by calling yourselves Christians?" And they said, "Well, sir, we're not from this place. We're from the city. We met at a mission work of a missionary, and we got saved there. We met each other there, got married there. The Lord brought us here to this place to work at the public school." And I told them, "Well, that works perfectly because I'm a missionary and I'm here to preach the gospel." Amen. And they said, "Well, you don't have to explain what you are and what your mission is. We know what you are and we know what you're here for." They offered us their house to be our meeting place. They helped us gather people to preach the gospel to them. And from that time on, we've been in that village and just ministering to the people. And as I have said, it's fine. We can preach the gospel there. But the key is to get people to come and listen to the gospel. You don't go out and force them to come. You give them an incentive to come. And the Lord gave us, me and my wife, when we started that work, we didn't raise any support. We had our full-time jobs. She's an English teacher. I work at the same school as the principal of that school. And what we did was, when we go to that village, we announced to the people that we're going to teach English for free. Yeah. And Cambodians need to learn the English language. It's a tourist country. If you don't know English, you're not going to have a good job. So you need to learn how to speak English. So we go there, we tell them, "We'll teach you English for free, but we're going to preach the gospel to you first, and then we're going to teach you English. If you're okay with that, then we can work together." That's what we tell the people at the village. And to them, that's okay. To our surprise, 6 years ago, when we started that up until now, we're averaging 60 people coming every week, and then just for the meeting. And I know they're not coming for the gospel. They're coming for the English class after the preaching. They're coming for the food after the English class and whatever that we can give them. But I also know what my Bible says. The Bible says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And it is the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. And they may have different motives coming. They may have a different reason, but the Bible is more powerful than whatever reason they have. And they sit there every week. They listen to the gospel. They listen to what the Bible has to say. And the Lord, we've just seen the Lord change the lives of some of those young people. Praise the Lord for that. The first batch of young people that came, they didn't speak any English. Right now, they're really good in English, some of them. But some of them got saved. And some of those young men are still at other churches serving the Lord. And one guy that got saved, I met him. He's studying Buddhism. He was studying under the Buddhist, in the Buddhist temple. He got saved. He found out that Christianity makes more sense than Buddhism. So praise the Lord for that, by the way. And he got saved. He surrendered to be a pastor. He's now on his third year of pastoral training. So the Lord, the Bible is more powerful than whatever motive we have. And as visitors, first-time visitors in the church, we never have the right motive at the first time we come to church. Never have. We come to church for the benefits of what the church can give us. But the Bible can change that. And we've seen that. And the Lord has been blessing the ministry. It's been growing. We actually had to rent another new place just to fit everyone and just to have enough rooms for teaching kids Bible stories and English classes as well. And we praise the Lord for that. We're here in the U.S. right now to raise support for for the ministry for the first time. As I have mentioned, we have not raised support for that. Our salaries together, we use that for the family and the ministry. And we praise the Lord for providing these past 6 years. He will always provide as long as we do His work His way. And I do believe that. But we want to be full-time in the ministry. We want to go back to Cambodia, be able to quit our jobs and just to be in that village full-time, to be with the people. Because the people need, when you go to Cambodia, it's not easy because people don't believe the Bible. That's the first thing. You cannot just open to them Bible verses and prove to them that they're sinners and that they're headed to hell. Because the Bible means nothing to them. And what we need is to be there, establish a relationship, show them the difference between being a good Buddhist and being a changed believer in Christ. Because there's a big difference. Because in their eyes, we're all the same. In their eyes, Christians are good people, Buddhists are good people, all of us will meet in heaven someday, something like that. All road leads to heaven. They accept everything. That's why when you preach the gospel to them, they would raise their hand in acceptance of Christ. But they will only add him to their God. So that is what they do. So the key is to be there with them. And the Lord just led us to just be full-time in the ministry. When we arrived here in the U.S., the government gave us 6 months to raise our support. We're raising $2,500 a month to be fully supported and just to be full-time in the ministry. And from November up until today, we're already at our 60% of our support. And we only have until April 26th. The end of April, we're going to have to go back to Cambodia. I believe the Lord will supply the needs through His people here in the U.S. We received great news last week that we were raising money for our very own vehicle for the village. The Lord just supplied for that last week. And there are some people of God just gave money for that. Amen. And we praise the Lord for that. And he supplied for that. What we're raising is support, monthly support for the ministry. And also we're raising for the plane ticket that we use for coming here. Right. And that would be for our family. We spent $5,000 just coming here and to be able to go back to Cambodia. Well, traveling is not cheap. And we were hoping to have a longer time to raise our support, but the Lord gave us 6 months. And I praise the Lord, our schedule was filled up. Up until we leave, we have places to go, and there's really good churches that partner with us. And just the Lord has been really good, and we praise the Lord for that. And please do pray for us as we continue to travel up until the end of April, and as we continue to present the ministry to the churches, that the Lord will touch the hearts of people, and just to see the importance continually of mission work. And I was, sir, I don't see any clocks, and I just forgot to ask you how long I have to preach. All right, that is a very dangerous answer, but I like the answer. All right, I always tell churches where I go, if you want me to stop, just shout Amen, Pharaoh. That means let my people go. Okay, so if I hear anyone say that, I'll let you guys go. All right, I was praying to preach about the woman at the well this morning, but sitting down listening to the Sunday school, the Lord led me to preach another message, and I just praise the Lord that He is the one leading. We'll be in the book of Malachi. Don't worry, it's not going to be chapter 3, it's going to be chapter 1, and we're going to read verse number 6 up until verse number 11. And just follow me with your Bibles. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 to 11. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where's mine honor? And if I be a master, where's my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts, unto you, O priests that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon my altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? If you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your persons? Saith the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name. And a pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for everyone who is here worshiping you in spirit and in truth. I pray, Lord, that you use this passage to remind us, dear Lord, what a privilege it is to serve you. Yes. And just to treat that just as that, as a privilege, dear Lord. I pray that this this passage will challenge us to continually serve you with all our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you use this as a rebuke, if anyone needs to rebuke, and an encouragement. If anyone needs encouragement this morning, if anyone here is lost, I pray that you use the message to show them, dear Lord, that they need you in their lives. And we just want to bring you back all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And as I have said a while ago, the Sunday school just led me to just to continue on that subject. And I believe that is a great subject, yes. Serving the Lord and not serving man and not serving whatever, serving the Lord the right way with the right motive. And that is what we should be. And I just entitled this message, Have I Done My Best? That is the message. Have I done or am I doing my best? And we can ask, I want you to ask yourself that question this morning. Have I done my best or am I still doing my best? Because, you know, this world, even if we just go out of the church context or the spiritual context, if you look at people in this world, people who are considered to be successful in the ways of this world are people who have continually given their best to whatever it is that they're doing. I'm a guy who loves sport. I watch a lot of American sports since I was young up until now. I have had some of my favorite people to watch. When I was growing up, I love watching Kobe Bryant. I'm sure you guys know him. But what I like about these people is that they became the best at what they do simply because they continually give their best at what they do. And if you don't do that, you know, this world is gonna eat you up. There's nothing that's gonna happen to you in this world. And you know, it's the same thing in our Christian life. One thing that we forget is that we always have to be giving our best in everything we do for the Lord. And the verse that we read a while ago is such a sad commentary in the life of Israel when God had to remind them, hey, you guys are not doing what's right anymore. Hey, you guys are not giving me your best anymore. And we read there in the last verses, God is telling them, I'm not accepting what you're doing for me anymore. Isn't that a sad state in our life? Realizing that, hey, I gave this, I sang, I preached, I played the piano, and yet the Lord did not accept it. Yep. You know, that can happen to you and me. That can happen. You know, when we got saved, we praise the Lord. We got saved, we praise the Lord. We have assurance of our salvation. And the devil cannot do anything about that, by the way. And we sang the song a while ago, when you got saved, you're saved forever. And the devil cannot take that away from you. But you know what the devil can do? He can lull us to sleep. He can make us think that we're still doing our best for the Lord, when in fact, we're not anymore. Yeah. He can make us think that what we're doing is still right, when in fact, we're not anymore. And all of us have fallen into that state in our Christian lives. The state of complacency. The state of taking for granted the privilege that we have to serve the Lord. Yes, sir. I mean, just think about that. We have the privilege to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Aren't you happy for that? I mean, it's so sad that you go into Baptist churches, you know, we sing the hymns, we know who we're singing it for, we know who we're worshiping, but then there are people who are not even singing their best for the Lord. I mean, you go to these emerging churches, these churches that jump and shout and dance, I mean, they give their best, and we have the audacity as Baptists to say that, hey, that's not how we worship the Lord. Right? And this is how we worship the Lord. Because we know the truth and yet we're not giving our best. Isn't that hypocrisy? Are we being hypocrites? We tell them that, hey, you guys are wrong. We worship the Lord not in those kinds of things. We worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Sure, but you're saying that, but you're not living it. We're not giving our best. Do we really believe what we're saying? And this is what's happening here in this chapter. Think about it. The Lord is talking to the priests of Israel. Not just, you know, Israel itself is already God's chosen nation and He already gave them a lot of favor and we know the history of Israel. We're not going to talk about that. And not only that, but God gave special privilege to the priests of Israel to do the things of the temple of God. What a great privilege. I mean, standing here behind this pulpit, I consider it to be a great privilege to be able to preach the Word of God. People who are working, if you have roles in the church, you're a Sunday school teacher, you're a choir member, you're a song leader, you're playing the piano, what a great privilege to be doing it for God.
Right.
And this priest, they're doing it for God, and they have their jobs. You read the book of the books of Moses, the law of Moses. It says there how they're supposed to do their jobs. And they already have the manual. They already, this is, you're supposed to do it this way.
Right.
You're supposed to use this animal. And this is how you kill the animal.
Right.
And he already gave them all the procedure. They just have to open it and just review it and do the right way.
Right.
Isn't it good? It's the same with us. You know, God already told us how we're supposed to serve him.
Right.
We're not guessing here. We're not trying to do it. God already gave us this book and told, hey, this is how you're supposed to serve me. Hey, if you want to know what to do for me, read the Bible.
Yeah.
If you want to know how you do it for me, read the Bible.
Yeah.
Because if we don't open it and we start guessing, then we start doing all those weird stuff in the church.
Yeah.
That's when we start speaking in tongues.
Right.
Why? Because I thought that's what the Lord wanted me to do. Hey, there's no guessing here. It's already here.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing today. And we praise the Lord that what we're doing by the grace of God is what God wants us to do in the church. But hey, I just want to remind us this morning that we can still fall into complacency.
Yes, we can.
And just forget about it. I mean, we've been in Cambodia for 21 years. It's not always us, you know, giving our best. Sometimes we fall into that complacency.
Right.
We take for granted the things, the privileges that we have. And that is what's happening here. Let's go to our text, verse number 6. No, God is reminding these people, this priest, that what they're doing for the Lord is not right anymore. He says, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you. O priest that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised my name? So God is reminding them to give him their best, to serve him the right way. And yet, you know, how the Lord tells us them here in verse 6 is telling them that, hey, you guys have to do what's right. You have to give your best because I deserve your best. That is what God is saying.
Right.
He's appealing to their logic. I deserve the best coming from you.
Right.
You know what God is saying? If you guys honor your father, and if you guys honor your master, and if you give your best serving your father, and if you give your best serving your boss at your job, where is my honor?
Right.
Why are you not giving me your best? Because sure, you have to obey your father. Sure, you have to obey your mother. Sure, you have to give your best at that work. But shouldn't you do that for me as well?
Right.
And Christ, God is just appealing to their logic. Logically, think about it. You know, there comes a time in our Christian lives where we give our best more at our secular jobs than what we do at church.
Right.
Now we make sure we arrive on time at work, but it doesn't matter if we arrive on time or not at church.
That's right.
I mean, I'm not, and I hope that, I mean, don't get mad at me this morning, but it's true.
Yes, sir.
I mean, it's easy to do that. It's fine. We set an alarm for work. Do we even set an alarm for church?
Amen.
We're excited for the things of this world. Are we still excited for church? And what God is saying to this priest, hey, you honor your father, you honor your mother, you honor your masters. Where's mine? I don't see it.
Right.
And that is what he's telling. You know what's even sad? It's the last part of that verse. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? It's already sad if we're being complacent in the ministry. It's already sad when we're not doing what's right anymore for God. You know what's even sadder? It's that we don't realize it.
That's right.
And we thought we're still doing right.
Yep.
We thought we're still giving our best. But what's sadder is that we don't realize that we're not anymore.
Right.
And God is just knocking on our hearts and saying, hey, that's not what I asked you to do.
Right.
Hey, that's not what you were doing for me before. You're not doing what's, and he's just appealing to their, logically, simply is this. God has given us so much more than what this world has given us. God has given us so much more than what our pastor, our leaders, our parents has given us. He deserves more glory and more service than to whatever we're doing. And that is what God is saying. Remember, the Bible, not only in the Old Testament, but even in the New Testament, we are reminded a lot. You know, that God deserves our best because He gave us our best.
Right.
Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2 says, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." He didn't just give us education. He didn't just give us whatever. He gave us Himself for our salvation. And doesn't He deserve our best? I mean, ask
yes,
ourselves that. I mean, there's only one answer to that. He deserves our best. He deserves our, and not only because He deserves our best, but in verse 7, God reminds them, "You offer polluted bread upon my altar, and you say, 'Wherein have we polluted thee?' In that you say the temple of the Lord is contemptible." Just realize what these priests are doing. So God, through Malachi, is talking to them, "Hey, you guys are not doing right anymore." "Well, what did we do?" "Oh, we were doing what you told us to do." And God tell them, "Hey, you're offering polluted bread. Don't you realize it?" I mean, just open the law of Moses. Did I say anywhere there that you offer polluted bread in my altar?
No.
What a sad commentary. The priests of Israel offering polluted bread upon God's altar. I mean, you're reading that, I can't hardly believe it. I mean, their lives is supposed to be just that. Knowing what to do for God and doing what God told them to do. And yet they're offering polluted bread in the altar. Verse 8, "If ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil?" You know, God didn't just say it's wrong. God didn't just say it's not acceptable. He said it is evil.
Yeah.
"If you offer that to me, that's evil. Right. If you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil?" Imagine that. They're offering that. "Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person?" And just try to give it to your community leader.
Yeah.
Is he going to accept what you're doing? No, he's not. And you think I'm going to accept it?
Right.
I mean, God is gracious, I know.
Right.
But not in that way. I mean, He told us already what to do. We're just supposed to obey it.
Amen.
I mean, if we do those that same service and we have that same attitude towards people in this earth, they're not going to be happy about it.
Right.
How much more about God? He's not going to be happy about
right.
it. So not only does He deserve our best, but I do believe God demands our best.
Yeah.
He demands it. It's not a suggestion. It's not telling us, "Hey, you know, wouldn't it be a good idea to give me your best?" No. He's saying, "Hey, you give me your best or else I'm not going to accept it."
Right.
That is what God is saying.
Yeah.
He's demanding our best. Colossians 3:23, "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the," who? "As to the Lord and not unto" who? "Unto men."
Right.
And that is what He's reminding us. I demand your best. It is a command to be obeyed. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 5 to 8. "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ." That is right. If we have a boss here on earth, if we're working for someone, it's a good testimony for us to give our best. And just to obey them. "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart." Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
What God is saying is that obey your boss for my sake.
Right.
Obey your mom and dad for my sake.
Right.
Not for the sake of them being your boss, not for the sake of them being your parents, but because I say so. That means even when we're doing things in this world, we're still doing it, should be doing it for God. With goodwill, verse 7 says, doing service as to the Lord and not unto man. You know, that is the key in life. If we want to have a good testimony, if we want to continue to honor the Lord or glorify the Lord in our lives, we must remind ourselves whatever we're doing it for the Lord.
Amen.
You know, if we just realize that, husbands will, you know, love their wives.
Sure.
Wives will submit to their husbands.
Right.
Because we're not, wives are not submitting to their husbands just because he's bigger and stronger. No, you submit to your husband because God says so.
Amen.
Husbands, love your wives because God says so.
Amen.
Do your best even in school because God says so.
Amen.
And if we do that, then we're gonna live a life glorifying to the Lord.
Yes.
And sometimes we forget that. Verse 8, "Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free." The Bible says, 1 Samuel 12:24, "Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things He hath done for you. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, God has been demanding our best.
Yes, sir.
And He's not changed even today.
Right.
He's demanding our best. Yes. And I just believe that hey, in verse number 9, He says, "And now I pray you, beseech God that He will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will He regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts." You know, God is just basically saying, you know, He doesn't care who you are. All He cares is that, you know, it doesn't matter who you are. It matters what you're doing for the Lord and if you're doing your best. And if we're not giving our best to the Lord, it is blatant disrespect to who He is in our lives. Verse 10, he takes it a step further. He deserves our best. He demands our best. But read verse number 10. "Who is there even among you?" And this is such a hard rebuke. "That would shut the doors for naught. Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hands." What is God saying this? Not only does He deserve our best, not only does He demand our best, but number 3, He hates it when we don't do our best.
Yes, sir.
That is taking it a step further. Read verse number 10 again. I mean, I'm going to try to paraphrase it. You know, God is saying is that if we just shut the temple down, if we just stop all the offerings that you're doing, He's telling the priest, it's not going to make any difference. Because I'm not accepting it anyway.
Yeah, right.
You know, if God says that to our churches today, I don't know what we would feel about it.
Right.
If God will say to Island 4 Baptist Church, "Hey, if you guys are not having service this morning, I wouldn't even notice it."
Yeah.
I'm not even accepting your singing. Yeah. Not even accepting your offering.
Yeah.
I don't even care for your preaching anyway. That is what God is saying. And hey, if we fall into that complacency in our Christian lives, that is what God is saying.
Yes, sir.
"Hey, if you don't come to church today, I didn't even notice," God said. "You're coming to church as if you're not there anyway.
Yep.
You wasted your money that you just put there a while ago because I didn't accept it." That's what God is saying.
Right.
And then He said, if you're not doing your best, might as well don't.
Right.
You're wasting your time. You're wasting your effort. You're wasting your money. That's what God is saying. And that is what He's telling this priest.
Yes.
He hates it when we don't. He demands it. And He doesn't like it when we don't do it. And verse number 11, and this will be the last verse, but I would just like to have this point, for us to realize this point. "For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts." You know what? Our last point here, point number 4. God is reminding this priest, hey, don't lose the privilege of serving me. You know what God is telling him? Hey, if you guys just stop doing what you're doing, if you just completely stop right now, it's fine. Because there are other people who do it for me.
That's right.
You just think about that. What a sobering thought. That means if I refuse to stand up here this morning, someone else will stand up and preach.
Yes.
That means if you refuse to come here to worship the Lord this morning, everywhere else in the world, people are worshiping the Lord right
Amen.
Now.
Yes, sir.
You know, it may not be a positive thought, but I think it's a right thought. It's just thinking that, hey, God doesn't need me, and God doesn't need you. Doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our time. He's going to accomplish His will His way.
Amen.
And it's just a privilege for us to be part of it.
That's right.
Just a privilege. If I refuse God's call in my life to have my own ministry there in Cambodia, would I think that no Cambodians will be saved? Of course not. God is going to raise someone up and still do it.
Amen.
But it's my loss.
Yes, sir.
It's my loss. I'm the one who's sorry for it.
Yes, sir.
Because I lost the privilege to represent the Lord in those villages and just give them the gospel.
Yes, sir.
It's a privilege that I should consider. And that is something that we forget.
Yes,
sir. We think God, God owes us something for our time here. We think God owes us something for going on door to door, knocking on doors, giving tracts and serving. No, God doesn't owe us anything.
No.
It's just God being gracious enough to allow us to do that.
Amen.
Who among here would raise their hand and say, hey, I deserve what I'm doing for the Lord? Nobody does. I don't deserve to be preaching here this morning. Your pastor doesn't deserve to pastor this church. It's all by the grace of God. And if God has given us that opportunity, treat it just as that, as an opportunity to serve the Lord. What a great opportunity. And sometimes, hey, like these people, we're wasting it. And if we're not careful, we're going to lose it altogether. And someone, God is just going to raise someone else. And God is going to give that privilege to another church. And God is going to just train someone and raise someone else. Remember that story in the book of Esther about Mordecai and Esther, that famous back and forth they had. When they found out that it's open Jew hunting season. That's what that is. Because the law was decreed that, hey, during this time, you can kill all the Jews you want. You're not going to be in trouble. That is the law. So Mordecai heard about it. And you know that famous phrase Esther said, if I perish, I perish. Now, we like to preach about that, and we like to challenge people about that. But that is not her first response. If you read the story, it's not her first response. When Mordecai heard about it, he told Esther's people, he said, can you go to Esther, tell her that she can do something about this. Yep. And she has to do something about this. You know, her first response is like, I don't want to. I'm afraid. Yeah. The king will kill me if I go there, he didn't call me and I go there, he's going to kill me. I'm not going to do it. That is her first response. And they came back to Mordecai and told him, hey, she doesn't want to do it. And then Mordecai said, tell her she doesn't understand. The hope of Israel doesn't rely on her. Yeah. If she doesn't do it, God will just use someone else to save his people. Amen. He's not going to let his people be annihilated that day. She doesn't get it. Mordecai said, tell her that it's your privilege to do it.
Amen.
And if you don't do it, someone else will do it. And hey, you're also a Jew. Yeah. Tell Esther she's a Jew. You're also going to die.
Yeah.
Someone will kill you. And if you and who knows? Maybe you were put in that position for such a time as this.
That's right. Man.
And that is what Mordecai, when Esther heard it, it just clicked. He's right. Pray and fast.
Amen.
I will go to the king, and if I perish, I perish.
Yeah.
You know, what a great point Mordecai gave. He said, hey, you don't get it. You're not the hope of Israel.
Amen.
God is. And then God wants to use you. Don't lose this privilege to
Amen.
Be used.
Amen.
And then that is what God is telling us today. Hey, I believe that this is a great church. I believe that this church serves the Lord. I believe that this church has a heart for mission and missionaries. But hey, God doesn't owe us anything. It's a privilege for us to do anything that we're doing for the Lord. And if we're not going to continue to give our best, we're going to lose that privilege. And sad thing is that we can still meet every Sunday. We can still meet every midweek service. And God is saying, well, what? You guys are meeting? I stopped caring for your meetings a long time ago because you're not doing it anymore. Hey, that's why as believers, as servants of God, we have to continually guard our hearts. Are we still doing things for the Lord out of our hearts, out of our love for Him? Or we're not anymore?
Right.
Check our hearts. Are we doing it still for the Lord, or maybe for, just like the Sunday school this morning, maybe for pastor, or for your parents, or for your friend?
Right.
Check your hearts, because we can easily be deceived and think that we're still doing it for the Lord when we're not anymore. And if we are reminded that it is a privilege to be used in the ministry, that makes all the difference.
Amen.
Makes all the difference in the world. It will make us more excited Sunday morning.
Yes.
It will make us pray for the service
Amen.
every time. It will make us excited to have a chance to open our Bible and read it. It will make us excited to pray. It will make us excited to just go soul winning because, hey, Lord, this privilege is not here forever. And I just want to take advantage of it and do my best for you. And thank
Amen.
You for this privilege that you're giving me. I just want to encourage you this morning. Keep on doing what we're doing for the Lord. But always check our hearts.
Amen.
Am I still doing it for the Lord or for myself? Or am I just going through the motions? Or all of those things. I mean, we're encouraged by our brother here who's here, you know, after having that sickness. You know, that is just remind yourself of that kind of enthusiasm we had when we first got saved.
Amen.
Do we still have that?
Right.
Do still have that that desire to just tell everyone about God, or are we taking it for granted now?
Amen.
I mean, just try to think about it. I hope that that helps us this morning. And let me pray before I call on your pastor. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to study your word. I pray, Lord, that we are going to be humble and submit to your words, dear Lord, and do your work in our hearts. For all these things I pray in Jesus' name.